news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one iron club blow sends the first guard to smother.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Well, hello, people. It is I, the Surfer. And I have returned from New York Comic Con, New York City Comic Con 2014. I have survived 4 long, grueling days of Comic Con hustle and bustle. So I'm here to tell you about it, my experience. And I'm also here to play some audio I picked up from some of the people from Artist Alley, like I normally do, because I give the little people a chance. And I also brought along my co-host, Jordan Cobb, to come from the other end and talk about the news out of Comic-Con that he received, because he wasn't able to go, but he did keep on top of the news for you. So, Jordan, introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. You brought me back something nice, right?
I brought you back me, still alive. That's what I brought back.
That's fine, I guess.
I tell you, I got a total of, during those 4 days, I got a total of 7 hours sleep. Now, you could add on 2 more for one of the bus rides, because I got on the bus on that third day, coming back home, and normally, like, you know, in New York, you gotta get through traffic, then you gotta get through that tunnel, and then you get on the highway through Jersey for me to go back on to Philadelphia. Well, I don't know what happened. I put on my headphones, was listening to a podcast, and the next thing you know, I was in Philadelphia. So, that was probably the best sleep I got all weekend long, because I certainly didn't sleep well at home, because I was coming in, I was preparing for the next day, I was laying down enough just to say I laid down, and then getting back up. My day started 3:30 in the morning every day. What do you think about that?
Sounds like you had a good time. Grueling, but good time.
It's a chore, you know, and things were a little different this year because, you know, the main hall, they changed the rules. Like in the past, you could go in there early and stay in there all day, and smart people did that if they wanted to get to one of the good panels at night. You didn't wait in line and hope you got in. You went to a panel you didn't care about. Sat there all day, took standing breaks, but this year they decided we're going to empty out the hall between panels, which meant less panels, because now it didn't go from, all right, it's 2:55, so that panel's over and 3 o'clock a new one's starting. They had time in between panels so they could clear out the room, clean up, and then let a new group in. So what you had to do was you had to get a wristband for the panel you wanted to attend. And You know, if you knew that from the first thing you did when you got there in the morning was get in the line and get your wristband. And I thought this was going to be a disaster, but it turned out to be the best thing they ever came up with, because I got to go to the panels I wanted to at night, but I hadn't been stuck in one room all day. I got to come back a half hour before they begin to let people in and get in line, and then they let us in. And I was sitting where I wanted to sit. And, you know, I'm going to talk about some of these panels I attended. You seem awfully quiet, Jordan. You seem jealous that I went and you didn't. I mean, I was
just letting you talk.
I thought we was having a conversation.
I was just letting you talk and regale me with tales. I got nothing else to say. I just did work, my own projects. Kept on top of news. That's all I did.
So, you got any questions for me? I mean, like, you know.
Yes. Were you able to get any interesting interviews?
Well, not from any big people, because by the time I got to Artist Alley, it was Sunday, and the place was so packed that, you know, with people trying to get drawings and autographs, that at that point, it was just not going to. I wasn't going to be able to get from those people, so I went to the little people. Uh-oh.
What was that?
So, George Clooney just said hi, though. So, he told me to tell you hi.
Great.
I'll talk about George Clooney a little later. Anyway, So, yeah, 4 days, and they also expanded Thursdays, because in the past, it was like, okay, the show floor wouldn't open until, like, 3 o'clock, and then, you know, be over at 7, and they had, like, no panels on Thursdays in the past, and the panels they did have was for the professionals, so between, like, 10 and 3 o'clock was only panels for the people in the business. But they had panels from go on Thursday. And there's a main stage, and then they had a second main stage called the Empire Stage. Now, that one, they didn't empty out. So, you know, if you didn't get into the big stage, the other stage was just as big, and you could sit in there all day if you wanted to do that. And people left that, so it wasn't like you were standing outside not able to get in. People would leave those panels for the most part. All right, so what do you want me to do? You want me to talk about the panels I went to, or you want to start with some news?
We can start with news or whatever. Your decision.
You know, I'm glad I left you behind, man, because you just would have killed the mood for Comic-Con for me.
Oh, wow. You're not making me feel stupid or bad
just,
at all.
I'm just saying, man. You know, and on top of that, you probably would, you know, I probably would have tried to talk to some nice young lady and you'd have stole her from me. So, I mean, oh, I did get a free hug, so.
Yeah, I'm not feeling insecure at all. Thank you,
I did get a free hug from somebody who was giving out free hugs, and I ran into Walter White Sunday night. He gave me, his assistant gave me some blue stuff, so. You know,
I might just come along on a con just to intentionally fuck with you now, because of what you just said.
What, about Walter White giving me some blue stuff?
No, you figured I'd kill the mood.
I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, I apologize.
We haven't met in person. You don't make assumptions. That's bad.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, I come to you for advice, and, like, what do you want to do?
I'm just asking. You're the one who went to the con. This is primarily your show. I'm still a co-host. I mean, I get a half stake, but again, it's your major decision.
All right, so I'll talk about the show. All right, so Sunday, I attended the first panel in the main hall, which, to me, was one of the ones I had to go to. which was the Big Hero 6 / Tomorrowland panel. Okay.
Interesting.
And, you know, they showed the trailer. They showed a lot of clips from Tomorrowland. You know, they had the producers up there. They brought out the cast. I was looking forward to Big Hero 6, but I wasn't sure how this would turn out. But now I'm dying to see it. This looks like it's amazing. You know, for years we've been wanting an Incredibles sequel.
Sequel.
Well, this ain't the Incredibles, but this is gonna be damn near close to it.
We're officially still getting one, right?
Yeah, I know that, but that's years away. And Groot, you had your chance in the summertime, but Baymax is coming for that ass. Okay, I'm telling you now. By the end of the year, people are gonna say Groot who? Because Baymax, he's gonna be the man.
Well, until Guardians goes on Blu-ray in December.
No. Baymax is gonna, you know, Baymax is gonna put Groot in his place. I'm telling you, Baymax, he's gonna be the man. Anyway, so you know, they talked about the make-believe place of San Francisco, because it's part San Francisco and part Tokyo.
Yeah, I kind of got that.
Right, and they explained the characters. And it was introduced in the video, you know, how they got their names, like Wasabi and Honey Lemon and all the other stuff. And all these people, they go to Habata's Big Brother school, right? And they all tech geeks and everything. And you got this one kid, he's just there as a school mascot. And you know, stuff go wrong, they come together to save the day. And then they started talking about Tomorrowland, which is the Brad Bird directed film coming out in 2015. Now, I didn't know whether Tomorrowland was live action or another animated feature, but it's live action. It's based off the Tomorrowland park at
Disney.
Disney, right. And Chris Hardwick was the moderator of this panel. And of course, as they're talking, who comes out on stage and just throws everybody into a frenzy? George Clooney. He sits down, of course, and he's part of the panel now. And, you know, he talks about how it's not lost that he's spending his honeymoon at Comic-Con. But they show the trailer's out.
But yeah, teaser trailer.
But they showed a clip that featured George Clooney and the girl that's the star of the movie. And this movie's badass. Right? It's a nice little action clip involving George Clooney and this girl. And yeah, it's Brad Bird. He seemed like he can do no wrong. All right, so
sounds like it.
They went to a Marvel panel where they had like a room for 5 hours. I sat around for two, listened to an X-Men panel, listened to another Marvel panel about some of the people that's been in this business for a long time. And then later on that night, what panel did I go to? See, this is old age kicking in. And so what was the news? Well, I looked this up. Tell me about the news you got on your end about the Tomorrowland and the Big Hero 6.
I'm trying to pull it up myself because I just had to reload the page. Only Tomorrowland fan stands like all the news up. So. The trailer. Oh, I'm not saying any. I didn't look at any panel before. I was just reporting on the news.
Right. I know. I had a chance to go to Tomorrowland and not Tomorrowland. I had a chance to go to the Big Hero 6 screening, but I didn't get in. So, sucks to be me. All right, so okay, just doing a refresh, of course, people, because it was something I went to. Oh, I went to the Legend of Korra panel, in which they showed their second episode. And remember when we discussed the first episode, and I said
it seemed like
they should have showed both episodes back to back.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, they should have, because that second episode answered a lot of questions that the first one didn't. I mean, as far as why Korra is all messed up and everything, and why you find her fighting in an arena, getting beat up. And of course, you did see the episode, right?
Of course.
And, you know, of course, it left with the cliffhanger of her meeting Toph in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Old lady. So, looks like, season four is going to be fantastic.
No, season four is off to an amazing start so far. I am really... really loving the direction the show is going.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since this is the absolute end.
All right. So, what was your perspective on the Tomorrowland and the Big Hero 6?
Again, I just didn't know much of what happened at the panels. The trailers for Big Hero 6 have me excited. I'm looking forward to it. The teaser for Tomorrowland has me looking forward to it even more, because I've been excited ever since I heard about it, because I'm a big Brad Bird fan. He's an influence on me in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been looking forward to both movies. This Comic-Con did not change anything. I'm still looking forward to them.
Let's see, Friday. I attended the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the main hall, which of course they showed this coming episode, and
you mean the episode that'll air on
right
tomorrow?
This week, yes.
Okay.
And Jeff Loeb was the moderator, and he talked about the show, and then he revealed that he was part of Hydra, in which Agent Coulson tried to take him down after that. And, they had a few giggles. You watched the episode. People lost their mind. Melinda May is bad. She just telling you now, she's a badass. I also attended the Once Upon a Time Has Frozen Over panel, which they showed the episode that already aired of Once Upon a Time, in which you kind of meet the villain of the season, which is the Snow Queen.
Uh-huh.
And you should be into Once Upon a Time.
Why are you... God, I'm still catching up.
You should be caught up.
Oh, excuse me for having a life.
Oh, some other things that went on is Marvel had a party. If you stop by their booth, you got a ticket to attend a 75th anniversary party that they had. And of course, Marvel always giving out stuff. They gave out comic books at their booth. They gave out stuff for some of the other panels. If you went to the Infinity panel, you got a Marvel Infinity doll, and some got a doll that's not on the shelf yet of the Hulk.
Did you go to this party?
No, I couldn't stay.
Did you get any of these free items?
I got some free items.
Excellent.
Saturday, the main one I went to was the Daredevil panel.
Oh, yes.
And that was probably that and the Archer. Those were probably the two big panels of the weekend. And I skipped Walking Dead this year because been to Walking Dead plenty of time. But the Daredevil, they showed a clip where Karen Page is being rescued by Daredevil and intruders in a home, and they showed the fight with that. They also showed a clip where Daredevil meets the night nurse, played by
Rosario Dawson.
Right. And she's trying to heal his wounds, and he's kind of nervous, don't know who she is, don't want to tell who he is to her. And whatever he went through, I mean, he was just messed up. Anyway, the entire cast is out there, minus Rosario Dawson, because she couldn't make it. And, Ben York, Kingpin, all those people that's playing, all the Fozzie Nelson, they were all there. And, Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin, they showed a clip where he meets his
future wife?
Right.
Vanessa.
And he seemed like he's a convincing Kingpin. Would I have ever done anything other than stare at a white painting and talk about how it made him feel? And then they re-showed that fight clip that we saw at the beginning, but they extended it a little more and showed what happened. Because at the end of the clip, like, they both fell out of a window and they both lay on the ground, but then they showed the rest of the fight. And one of the things they didn't show was any radar sense. So, like, they didn't, like, flash to his perspective of what he's seen as far as the radar goes. And whether that's going to be in the show or not, I don't know. But it didn't seem like it is. And the fight scene he was in, it wasn't anything where it was like it was an easy fight for him. It was a bit of a struggle for him. And they also showed the scene where Fozzie and Matt and Karen Page is sitting down eating, and she's offering to help them because she really can't pay for their services. And so, yeah. Jordan, what's your Netflix password again?
I'm not giving it to you. You should have your own.
Come on, Aaron. We gotta do it for work.
I am not telling you on the air.
Okay, look. Everybody, turn away for a second. Me and Jordan got something to discuss.
Not even funny. I know you're not even gonna edit it out.
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, come on, man. See that? He's supposed to be my co-host, but he
doesn't. Okay, fine. I'll tell you. It's Elephant 42.
That's not working.
Elephant 42. Well, try again. Just keep trying. Let's move on.
Okay. Anyway, he'll give it to me one day. Don't worry.
No, you won't.
I'm going to use my Jedi mind trick on
him. It's still someone else's.
I'm not stealing. I'm borrowing.
Okay, borrow someone else's.
I'm borrowing from a friend.
I already shared enough of a family.
Okay, well, I'm not family. I'm not gonna do you wrong like family does. I'm your friend. But anyway, we'll discuss it later. Anyway.
I think, yeah, okay.
Anyway. You know, the one drawback to New York Comic Con, there's so many things going on at the same time that you cannot go to all the panels that you want to go to. And on top of that, the place is so big. Like, where the main halls are and where the rest of the panels is such a hike. And if you think you're going to run between one panel and another that's on opposite ends, you're not doing it. Especially when you got to weave your way through the amount of people. Now, listen, on Thursday night, they made the announcement that 150,000 people had came through for Comic-Con. This is on a Thursday. All right, now, San Diego caps off their ticket sales at 130,000 people. And New York was at 150,000 on Thursday. I'm quite sure Saturday had more people show up. It definitely looked that way. There was a point when I came out of a room and there was nothing but seas of heads. As far as you can see, just heads of people mowing around. Okay, so where am I at? I'm on Saturday night, right?
What?
I said I was on Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
I didn't make it to Mike Tyson's Mysteries, because that was going on at the same time as Daredevil. Very inconsiderate of them. Sunday, the only 2 pounds I went to the Madagascar Penguins / home, and I went to the Gotham. And then I went to Artist Alley to get some interviews. Now, of course, I went to the Cup of Joe on Saturday. And the big news they announced out of that was everything Hickman's been writing as far as these incursions and teams of Avengers has all been leading up to next year's Secret Wars. What did you hear on that?
Secret Wars, that it's being done by Jonathan Hickman and drawn by Esad Ribic.
Now, this is the third Civil War the Marvel has done.
Secret War.
Huh? No, Secret War. Secret War, yeah. This is the third Secret War they would have done in their history. But the second...
The original being in 1984.
But I think this one's going to be closer to the original one than the Bendis one wrote about 10 years ago. The Secret War 10 years ago didn't involve many people, where they said this is going to involve the entire Marvel Universe. Like, everyone and everybody will be a part of the Secret Wars. So,
good, get your words out.
Are you excited for another Secret Wars?
That's interesting. Again, time for Surfer to tell me I'm wrong. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you wrong.
Hold on. Let me finish what I was about to say. Tell me I'm wrong, because I'm not really that into Hickman's Avengers. But yeah, I might check this out.
You're right.
I might check this out. It's been announced there will be many more announcements leading up to May and beyond May. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Hickman's Avengers is too complicated for you. I understand.
No, it's not too complicated. It's just I'm not enjoying it.
Because you don't understand the genius this man has when he writes these long-term stories.
The pieces
of the puzzle, they fit. They come together.
He doesn't leave any loose threads.
You know he's been writing this story ever since he took over with the FF, right? I mean, like, every... Like,
what,
like,
time runs out?
A lot of the stuff that's in the Avengers...
Look,
He ended his FF run, but there was threads in the FF he started there that he carried over into the Avengers run. Like, the whole thing with AIM. And they've been a big part of what's going on lately.
We'll see. Look, I like Hickman. I love his Fantastic Four. I am a big fan of his Image series, Manhattan Projects. I'm about to start East West. Me, personally, I just lost interest in his Avengers after about the second run or so, because it started feeling like another world-ending event. So I'm like, could the Avengers do something that's not apocalyptic? That's just me. That's why I'm not reading it anymore. Also, there are two more far more interesting Avengers books.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
Uncanny Avengers is complicated.
Uncanny Avengers is really good, and Secret Avengers is a lot of fun.
Uncanny Avengers is still dealing with Apocalypse and so on and so forth. Anyway, but we can argue this for another day, because then we'll be on here for another 6 hours. Let's just agree to disagree and agree that you're wrong and I'm right.
Oh God, you were taking the high road, then you took a low blow. Yeah, that is so.
That's how it works. See, you distract with one hand, boom, pow.
I fucked you. You are better than that, surfer. You are better than that.
Anyway, so what news? What news did you get on your end?
Well, there is teasing of the end of the Fantastic Four, which
coming to an end.
What?
That is coming to an end, right?
Yeah, I just said the end of the Fantastic Four, which James Robinson discussed at New York City Comic Con.
What did he say?
Quote, this is what I will say. When I started the book, some people were open to it, but there was a lot of negativity because I heard, oh my God, James Robinson's going to make this, he's going to do this dark, depressing Fantastic Four book. Who cares? That's not what we want. I think I'm surprised that the book is still, I think, a pretty good Fantastic Four book. It has all these elements about the book. There's definitely been a groundswell of people. This is a good book. Kirk's art is wonderful. At the end of the day, nobody likes that Fantastic Four. It has a bad taste in their mouth. But he also said, like, the thing is, everyone's upset now because the book is going away. Are they buying the book? I don't know if they are. If there's a lot of just people who get, just to get online, moan and complain. I guarantee, if you kill off any character, the most obscure character, you'll get one angry person who claims it was their favorite. Jack Frost, Golden Age character. They've done something to him. Where's the razor blade? I'm slashing my wrists. People on the internet. And so, you have to take that with a giant grain of salt.
Well, honestly, I dropped my Fantastic Four from my pull list. James Robinson, I got Hickman hangover when it comes to that book. Really, I mean, I just feel like no one's doing it the way Hickman's done it. And, okay, Fraction took over the book, and he did this storyline where they were out in space trying to fix their powers. And that storyline went on too long. And he even left the book before it ended. So Robinson takes over the book, and he's doing everything to tear down the Fantastic Four. And I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, I've dropped Fantastic Four as well, because this is not how you should start a Fantastic Four book. This is something you do later down the line on your run. But holy shit.
But now, I don't know who wrote the annual, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, he wrote the annual. I believe he wrote the annual. I'll look it up. But yeah, this is not how you should be doing the beginning of a Fantastic Four book. So, I mean, I'm not against Robinson doing a Fantastic Four run. I'm just against this type of story that he kicked it off with and how it's gone.
Now the crossover with Original Sin, that was a bit interesting when you discover that in one of the many attempts, Reed tried to fix Ben. Like, one of the devices Reed came up with didn't work. And you found out the reason why it didn't work, that was Johnny tampered with the machine by accident. And so the calibrations was off. So when they tried to use it on Ben, since the calibration was off, the result didn't work. And of course, Ben was distraught and stormed off. And it was being another failure. And it turned out it probably would have worked. Johnny hadn't messed up, and that was what the Original Sin was about in there.
Yeah, Robinson wrote it.
Right. That was interesting. But, like, lately, like, you know, the things in jail for murder of the puppet master.
Yeah.
And so he's in prison with a bunch of superpowered people. And guess who runs the prison? Not like, you know, officially, but like the head criminal in there. she thing.
Yeah.
So what that's about, I don't know. Oh, the annual, real quick. I was going to say, yeah, the annual was Sue went to Laveria to get her daughter.
Valeria.
She didn't want to leave. Caused a fight between her and Doom, where she almost made Doom into a blood spot. And ended up leaving without her daughter because she still didn't want to leave Uncle Doom. Anyway.
Yeah, I checked out the annual at least because I'm a big Sue Storm fan. Thought it was interesting.
So, yeah, Fantastic Four. We'll wait for you to come back one day.
The other announcement tease was no more mutants, which some people started to speculate was doing the same thing they're doing with Fantastic Four and now the X-Men. But guess what? X-Men not going away. That's like a huge chunk of their publishing line.
Why would they get rid of X-Men, of all things?
I was about to say why it doesn't make any sense. Because it's a huge chunk of their publishing line. And they're very good moderate sellers right now.
And then we've already went through the No More Mutants. So.
No More Mutants is set to begin in January 2015, which relates to the finale of the 2005 event House of M, which Scarlet Witch uttered the words so No
is,
More
this
Mutants.
Is, this is an alternate reality continuation of what would have happened had the mutants stayed away. Well, all the mutants went away, right?
Well, we don't know much beyond that. All we know is No More Mutants is happening. That's all we know.
No, I understand. It's just, you know, they do this from time to time. They'll take a storyline and give you another perspective. What if this happened? Or what if we stayed with that?
And what if Civil War was a good story?
Civil War was a good story.
Nah.
Civil War was a good story with a bad ending.
I agree to disagree.
We're going to have a conversation after we're done. Because I really want to find out why you think that. But anyway, go on with some more news real quick, please.
Yeah, Marvel announced plenty of new series at the New York City Comic Con, one of which being the Edge of Spider-Verse spinoff. Spider-Gwen proved to be a huge seller, so it's going to get its own spinoff series.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Spider-Man. Gwen Stacy. And I'm quite excited for that. That was awesome. Another new series announced, not surprisingly, is that Nick Spencer and Ramon Rosanez are going to be doing a Ant-Man series starring Scott Lang. That's going to begin in January 2015. And where Matt Fraction and David Aja's Hawkeye run is soon to end. They're not worried, those fans of the Purple Archer. I really got nothing for that. Hawkeye will begin a new series in March 2015 with writer Jeff Lemire and artist Ramon Perez.
Oh, Ant-Man book. Who saw that coming? Wow.
I
wonder what made them decide to do an Ant-Man series. What?
Well, because it's one of its best-selling books. It's getting nothing but critical praise and love from fans.
Ant-Man?
No, I said Hawkeye. Hawkeye.
No, I said, I wonder what made him decide to do an Ant-Man book.
Movie.
What movie?
Ant-Man.
They're not doing an Ant-Man movie.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Surfer, we need to talk about the selective memory you have.
Ant-Man's too small to do a movie. Anyway.
You sizest.
Anyway.
How dare you discriminate against someone against their size?
Yeah, if I saw Ant-Man, I'd step on
him. You bastard.
What else you got?
Oh, what else? There's a rumor. I should state this rumor going about. That apparently from Latino review, which, again, emphasizes the word rumor because it's Latino review.
Well, no, Latino review, when they usually put out a story, it's usually accurate, so that ain't right. Well, go ahead.
They're rumor hogs. Anyway. That Brainiac might be the Justice League villain.
Okay, yeah, I saw that. They gotta have somebody be the villain.
Yes.
And you gotta have a villain.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
No, I'm saying you gotta have a villain. You can't have a villain that only Superman can fight and Batman just standing there.
Again, I think it's a logical choice, although I wish it could have been like set up in a Man of Steel sequel, Brainiac. But okay, again, I have no problem with Brainiac being a Justice League villain. Same video also reported that there might be a Suicide Squad lineup consisting of Blockbuster, Multiplex, Julie, Mindboggler, Captain Boomerang, Vixen, and Deadshot.
Yeah, live action movie?
Yeah, I said Suicide Squad movie.
Okay. We'll see, because, you know, DC, they got a lot of catching up to do. And if a Guardians of the Galaxy movie can work, certainly a Suicide movie can work. I mean, that outside of me and you and the comic book readers, the average person ain't going to know what the Suicide Squad is. So...
Or does that watch Arrow?
Well, those that watch Arrow are usually comic book fans. I don't know many that just watch the show and don't care about comic books in one way or another. What else you got?
What I got is that Scott Snyder and Jox recently debuted Witches from Image Comics. Already has a big screen movie option.
Yeah, so Scott Snyder is on the come up,
And that's good. Although I'm mixed because one, I thought the first issue of Witches was a stellar debut and a great testament to how great Snyder is among the writers in the industry today. But also, this just debuted. Can we let the book grow a bit? Let them. Because this is going month by month.
Well,
let them,
you know,
keep building.
It is cheaper to grab these things and, you know, from the start than to wait till it become popular, then try to. I mean, think about it. If AMC had grabbed hold of Walking Dead, say, and, you know, in the first couple of issues, and said, yeah, we're going to make a TV show out of it, it probably would have cost them a lot less than what it's costing them now. But, you know, once it became one of these juggernaut of books and the groundswell of people behind it, you know, hey, you know, yeah, Kirkman, he's not sitting in Artist Alley doing these conventions. He's a celebrity now.
Well, there are two new Vertigo books announced. One is from Gail Simone called Clean Room, an ongoing horror thriller with 2000 AD artist Jonathan Davis Hunt. It is described as the following. Meet Astrid Mueller, a brilliant, charismatic speaker and the head of a new church that claims to be that claims to cure anyone's deepest disorders through an expensive series of secretive therapy techniques. Meet Chloe, a reporter whose photographer lover is brutally murdered while investigating a church that is more like a high-stakes PR firm. On the verge of suicide, Chloe finds the strength and determination to stay alive to find out the truth. Astrid's secret weapon is a room only the very wealthy or very dangerous ever get to see. The Clean Room. A hermetically sealed and biologically impervious high-tech chamber below the church's main offices in Chicago. Some do not survive the process, and no one leaves unchanged.
Pardon
what the hell was that?
Pardon me. I I forgot to mention one of the panels I went to was the Powers panel, which, of course, the trailer's out for it, you know. It stars Chateau Copley, and everybody in the cast came out except for him, because he's busy. And, you know, they talked about the different roles they're playing. And Bendis, you know, he was a proud little popper, and Mike Ullman came up on stage, and Bendis talked about how this is the best part of being up here, is that, you know, he something he started with a friend has gotten to this point. And they talked about how you can get the first episode free through different PlayStation, Sony platforms. But as far as the whole season, you have to have a PS, you have to have a PlayStation, have a PlayStation subscription in order to watch the entire season. So, I'm going to need to borrow your PlayStation, Jordan.
I don't have PlayStation Plus.
But you got a PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, just get I didn't ask you for the service, I just asked you for the PlayStation.
You're not going to... that's going to be difficult over many, several state lines.
Well, just ship it to me.
No.
Yeah, go on.
I do not.
UPS.
No. I'm not shipping you my PlayStation.
You see this, people? He don't want to share nothing.
I want to share. This is just something I do not want to
I will return your PlayStation after I watch the season, okay?
There are some things I will lend people. Video game consoles, not one of them.
And how am I supposed to do my job as a...
Black Friday sales. It'll be the series that debuts in December. You'll have plenty of time.
Just forget it. All right, anything else before we wrap this up?
Two more items. As I said, there was another Vertigo series announced. This one is called Effigy, being written by Tim Seeley, co-writer of Grayson and Batman Eternal. Effigy debuts in January 2015, drawn by relative newcomer Marley Zarcone. It is about a former Hollywood child turned Z-lister named Sandra Jackson who returns to her hometown of Effigy Mound, Illinois, after a sex tape scandal. Troubled by her own personal life, she finds a seemingly impossible crime, a fresh corpse in an ancient Indian burial site. Even weirder, the murder resembles a scene from an episode of the old TV show Star Cop, a live-action children's show about a kid detective that she used to star in.
Mm-hmm. And that's it?
That's the book. I'm fine. Well, you mentioned the last thing I wanted to bring up. And the last thing is the official announcement, well, once again, of the Gamora book, written by Guardians of the Galaxy co-screenwriter Nicole Perlman, was announced at a Women of Marvel panel.
Yeah, they might as well just have a Guardians book and then everybody have a solo series to go along with it, because...
Well, not Groot, because he's kind of the co-star of Rocket's book.
Right. Well, they got a book now, Star-Lord, so who's the only one left but Drax? Unless Drax is part of Gamora's book.
Maybe. We do not know. Bro,
there was plenty of movie Gamoras walking around.
Well, also announced at that same panel, Miss Marvel writer G. Willow Wilson will also add another book to her workload. She'll be the writer of X-Men beginning in January with X-Men number 23. Her first four-issue arc is called The Burning World, and each issue is told from a different viewpoint of a different character.
Mm-hmm.
An artist has not yet been named.
Okay. So, any questions?
Nope.
Oh, See, my memory's coming back now. I went to the Batman 75th anniversary panel, too. And, you know, that was talk about the... And people that worked on different eras of Batman and talked about the history of Batman and so on. And
Batman, sounds fun. Get me in those Batman stamps.
Yeah, that was the first thing you saw me when I came in the door was selling the stamps. And I didn't buy any because I wouldn't want to buy them unless I got to keep them. And that's a kind of waste of money for me to buy stamps, and I'm not a stamp collector, and I wouldn't want to use them, but they had them there, so. How much is a stamp now? Like, 59 cents?
Uh-huh.
That how much, that's about the price of a stamp now, right? 60-something cents?
I do not know.
Well, anyway. Yeah, they was doing a big thing. They, you know, at the beginning they had Jim Lee and Jeff Johns and sorry, don't blank on this other guy's name. What's his name?
What's his name?
For DC.
Dan DiDio.
Yeah. They were signing stamps on the first day. So anyway, this went on probably a bit longer than we planned, but it happens, you know. So after this, of course, I will play the audio I picked up from Artist Alley, and hopefully that'll keep you interested enough to listen to the end of the of this recording. And we thank you for listening to us. And do some promos for us, Jordan.
Yes, you're listening to the What Are You Reading comic book show here on www.rantemradio.com. If you want to listen to us, once again, you can listen to the station where Encores will be playing on loop, but you can also listen to us on geekliferadio.com. You can also listen to us on Podbean, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, iTunes. Go to iTunes and find Rant EM Radio in the podcast section. Subscribe to us, review us, and rate us 5 stars. It will help us out significantly. You can also go by the What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page and give a like to keep updated on the latest news that will be discussed on future episodes.
And how can they follow you on Twitter?
Oh, they can find me at Joe Wolko, JoWoCo.
And, of course, you can listen to all the other fine shows on Rant EM Radio, starting every Sunday with this show, the What Are You Reading comic book show. Monday nights is it the Rant with Double A and Tony C, where they go over all the rest of the news of the week. Wednesdays, Turnbuckle Throwback with Phil and Dave, and they discuss new and classic wrestling like no other. Saturday night is the Wrestling Calling Show with William Morgan and Rage, and they let you talk about anything and everything to do with wrestling. You can also get the Lex Experience podcast and check out all the different shows on Geek Life Radio, which I have to learn these shows so I can mention them in the beginning. So I apologize this time around. Don't be afraid to call us. This is a call-in show. We do the show not to talk, but to listen to what you have to say. So you can Skype me at SilverSurfer_forever. And what is the phone number, Jordan?
You can call us at the phone number 215-253-4516.
All right, Jordan. I'm done with you for the week. And it's time for me to catch up on some sleep. So I'm going to, go into a comatose state.
Okay.
And just keep your fingers crossed that I do wake up from it. And say goodbye to these people.
Good night, everybody.
Well, it's not really good night until after the audio, but until then, peace.
are most known for doing
Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures or Dark Horse Comics. We did that for...
Well, introduce yourself. For,
oh, we're the Philbach brothers.
Okay.
Matthew
and Sean.
We create, write, and draw, like, amazing books.
Well, the best, yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't be talking to us if you didn't know that, but the thing we're known for is doing the Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures Digest books, which are kind of our forte. Our biggest fan base is, like, the 8 and 9 year old crowd. But since leaving Dark Horse to come to First Comics, that Ken Levin is, he was the original founder of First Comics. We are branching to everything from Zombie Ants to Captain Freebird.
Yes. Cadaver Dogs of Winter, Lives, Tales of the SS Junkie Star. So we have about four more coming up next year. Mm-hmm. We have Shotgun to Sugarland. We have Hallelujah. We have...
I mean, we've got another Junkie Star coming up.
We are
another
just
Captain Freebird.
Another Captain Freebird.
Another Zombie Ants. So our full our schedule is full.
Yes.
All right. So what can they reach you guys to? You know,
onefirstcomics.com. Okay. So just put the one in front
one
of
firstcomics.com,
and
you guys are
you'll be able to see everything that we have.
All right, here's the hard question: how long you been brothers?
On the plane.
I know, we just met on the plane. I hate this guy.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hi everybody, my name is David Campetti with Red Giant Entertainment. I'm the Chief Operations Officer, one of the writers. I'm in charge of the creative for the company. Red Giant has a different business model than folks are used to. Instead of just buying your comics in the friendly neighborhood comic shop, ours are free, not just on Free Comic Book Day, but every week. Starting in December, there will be a free comic each week available in comic shops and through Toys R Us. Giant Size Action, Giant Size Adventure, Giant Size Fantasy, Giant Size Thrills. Each one will be a double-sized comic, 64 pages or more, with two projects in each series. There's going to be Tesla, Wayward Sons, Magica, based on the Journey in the Magica series, that'll be, or movie rather, that'll be premiering soon. There'll be Shadow Children, Darkon, and several others. So look for them every week beginning in December. We also have a line of regular comics, trades, and hardcovers with creators such as Mike Diodato that are available in comic shops right now. If you're interested in more information, go to our Facebook page, Red Giant Entertainment, or you're free to reach me at david@redgiantentertainment.com.
Thank you.
I'm Will Conrad from Brazil. I'm the artist for X-Men, New Avengers, Wolverine, Nightwing, and right now I'm working for Dark Horse, doing Angel and Faith. I'm here doing sketches and selling this sketchbook, and I can be reached at Will Conrad on Facebook.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you ready?
My name is David Mack. I'm the writer and artist of Kabuki and also Daredevil from Marvel Comics. You can find me on Facebook, just under David Mack with the blue check mark.
All right, so what are you selling here today?
This is a series I've been writing and drawing for the last 20 years. This year's the 20th anniversary. It's a series I write and draw called Kabuki.
Okay, and what about Kabuki?
It begins as kind of a crime story set in Japan.
That's it?
Yeah, that's a good enough start.
So I'm Nathan Fox. I'm an illustrator, comic book artist, and chair of the MFA Visual Narrative Program at the School of Visual Arts. We're selling a collection of my books. I have a 30 postcard collection called Stay Tuned through Chronicle Books.
Mm-hmm.
A book called Fluorescent Black from Heavy Metal. It's a bio sci-fi punk story based in Singapore, as well as Dogs of War, which is a Scholastic graphics book for young adults. It's three short stories of military dogs in service in World War I, II, and Vietnam.
All right, so where can they reach you for?
My website is foxnathan.com, and you can check out the program at mfavn.sva.edu.
Okay.
This is Shawnee Williams, and I'm the writer of Artful Daggers. You can find it at artfuldaggers.com.
Oh, what's the book about?
It's set 50 years after Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. The main character is a princess by day and a saboteur by night.
Okay. And so this is the first volume?
Yeah.
Okay. And what else would you like to tell?
That's about it.
Okay.
Greetings. My name is M.W. Bennett. And my book is called Sanjata, Book 1, The Blood Wars, and Book 2, Weapons. And there is a Book 3 that's in the workings right now, and there will be some spin-offs. And you can find the book on sanjatasaga.com, SunjataSaga.com. And basically the book is deals with the concepts of spirituality, it deals with meditation, it deals with martial arts, and it deals with government intrigue. And it is about a man who is a spiritual warrior. He studies enerpension, which is the act of taking energy that's around you and making your body become a weapon, in which he does not need a weapon. His body is the weapon. And he used to be an assassin, and he decided to change his life, turn up a new leaf. So he comes to a small town called Origin City. Well, within Origin City, there's a smaller town called Longbush. And he wants to live a peaceful life and find out more about his past. And in his research, he finds out that he is the last of a race that was completely annihilated by another race, alien race. And he also finds out that he is connected to a war that happened back then, way in the past, and is about to repeat itself. As another war is coming, and he has to try to stop that war while trying to also clear his name from being blamed for a string of serial killings. In this book, you get to meet a mass array of interesting, old, powerful characters. Different than anything you've ever seen before. And the imagery of the characters, the action, the adventure, the dialogue, storyline, everything is different. And that's all I got. You can find me on the net, like I said, sanjatasaga.com, on my Facebook, on YouTube. You can meet me in the Matrix.